John chapter 11, 38 through 44. Oh. Jesus, I'm going to give a little preface here. Jesus had a friend. His name was Lazarus. Jesus was away. Lazarus died. Lazarus' family was very sad. So Jesus went to visit the family, and they took him to where Lazarus was. Okay, that's all the preface. So now picking up in 18, and again, Jesus was deeply troubled. I'm just going to stop just real quick. Jesus doesn't like death. He never planned that. That wasn't part of the, this is just for you guys. Just FYI. That was not part of the original plan. Death was a result of sin. God didn't make that. That was our fault, right? That is an imposing force. I don't think God likes death, and I think it bugs him that it's still here. There will be a day it's not. There will be a day he does away with death, and death as a being will burn in hell. Okay, getting back to where we were. And again, Jesus was deeply troubled. Then they came to the grave. It was a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside. It's like, whoa, your boy Lazarus is dead in there. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, said, Lord, by now the smell will be terrible because he has been dead for 4 days. I like in the King James Version, it says, but Lord, he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. He stinketh. I think the kids are going to love that. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I say it out loud for the sake of all the people standing here, so they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus came out of the tomb, bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Jesus has power even over death. Even death itself is submissive to Jesus. When he says, stop being dead, they obey and they stop being dead. This is God's power. How big is God? How big? What can he not do? The list is short. It's actually non-existent. There's nothing too hard for our God, even death. Oh, I just... This is who the Bible explains God to be. And I look around the world and I look how amazingly it's built and I look how much I love the sunshine and isn't it interesting that we like flavor? Like even that detail, ice cream is yummy. Why is ice cream yummy? Why is that? Did God have to do that? But it is, isn't it? And I cannot believe it's just, oh, you're absorbing calories and your brain fires neurons and blah, 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 so you think it's yummy. It's like, no, my dog does not get the same joy out of food as I do. I've seen him step over his full bowl of food and go in the backyard and eat his own poo. No, he doesn't get the same enjoyment of food I do. God gave us that. So, if that is God, and that's how the Bible explains him, how can we relate to this God? Like, okay, that's what the Bible says. Neat. Wow. So I want to go from there, and the next chapel, I want to talk about prayer. Because that God is not a distant, far-off being who started this whole thing, has limitless power, and then just sits back and watches as we squirm and toil and torment and go about our lives alone. He is with us, and he loves us, the Bible says. So, okay, if he loves us and is with us, let's talk, what is prayer? What is it? Well, it's talking to God. So I want to start that chapel with... Oh, I wonder if we could do this with the adults. I don't know if the adults are quite as courageous as kids are in camp. Well, I want to ask a question. What was the best part of your week? Just hang on. And in three words, could you guys all shout something out if I ask? I'll count down 3, 2, 1, and then shout something. What was the best part of your week? You guys ready? Oh, boy, with not all of you at once, though. Hey, like, okay, we don't have to do this. This is what I want to do with the kids. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Right on, I heard a whole bunch of things. That's great. And then I might pick a couple of kids and ask, hey, would you tell me in 3 sentences what was the funnest part of so far at camp? What was something you did that was super fun or funny, something you thought was hilarious at having a camp? I'll get 2 or 3 of them to kind of tell me a little story. And then I'll point out, that's so cool. Yeah? crafts, right? Kids love crafts. I got to point that out. We need people to come and do crafts at camp. It is not my strength. Crafts stress me right out. But kids love it. It's so much fun. And they create so much stuff. Yeah, okay, dude. Night games, right? Night games. We play night games out at camp. I love that. I asked that question and two kids responded. Boy, they're courageous. Where did we lose our courage as adults? Where did we become so shy in a social environment? Anyway, that's a whole different question. Sorry, honey, I already got two. Oh, okay, go ahead, quick. Campfire. I love campfire. And the songs? I love doing the song. Yeah, I usually get to do them one of the campfires I get to be involved. So much fun. Okay. So what I want to point out is what you just told me, if you literally do that to God, that's prayer. Three words. I had fun swimming. That can be a prayer. Yeah. I like doing crafts. Hey God, that was fun today, doing crafts. That could be a prayer. It's a conversation. Now there is a structure to how we go and petition the Lord, but the only wrong way to pray is to not pray. Don't not pray. Oh, kids, don't not pray. God is there, and he wants so bad to hear from you. We can talk to him anytime, and it's not magic. It's not a spell. You don't have to do this and fold your hands and close your eyes. These are things that help us keep our mind focused on God, but that's not a requirement. Pray. Talk to him. You can shout to him. Woo! This is fun. Thanks, God. And off you go. Go play. Have fun. Slip and slide. Get wet. Have a good time. Right? This is prayer. So how to talk to God? We're going to flip over to Philippians. It should be way back here. Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And it says this. You ready? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. I've heard it recently. A friend of ours, I think in rather annoyance, but started telling like her family member, don't even bring your problems to me unless you've prayed about it. So they're like, hey, something happened and I'm upset and whoa. Did you pray about it? Well, no. Then you're not serious about it. Until you've prayed about it, don't bring it to me. And I'm like, that's a great parenting advice, to be honest. I already told my kids, we're going to start doing that. You got a problem? Until you've prayed about it, don't bring it to me. Unless it's the dishwasher's broken. You can pray about that too. But pray about everything. Well, okay. Right? That's what the Bible says. Pray about everything. God wants to hear it all, guys. He wants to hear it all. And we're going to go to Luke 11, where Jesus is talking about prayer. Okay? And he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. And then it says this in verse 5 through 13. Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this illustration. This is from Jesus. This is God telling us. Ready? Here we go. Teaching them more about prayer, he used this illustration. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You would say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. He would call out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and we're all in bed. I can't help you this time. But I tell you this, though he won't do it as a friend, if you keep on knocking long enough, he will get up and give you what you want, so his reputation won't be damaged. And so I tell you, this is Jesus, so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and the door is open to everyone who knocks. You fathers, right? He's talking to me here. I'm a dad. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? No, of course not. If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So how should we pray? always, consistently, continually, just never stop. When times are good, talk to God. Tell him what. When times are hard, be honest. He's not ashamed. He's not surprised. He's not embarrassed that you're having a hard day at school, that you're having a hard time and mom was mean and something happened and now I got to do dishes. And tell him that. He's not at all afraid of that. That doesn't intimidate him. He's not embarrassed by that. But talk to him constantly. The version I like says, for your shameless persistence, right? He will get up. If you keep knocking long enough, he will get you due to your shameless persistence. That's how we should annoy God, because you can't. He's never annoyed from hearing with his kids. He's never sick of hearing from us. So talk continually. Oh my gosh, we're almost halfway through and I'm out of time. Okay, cool. Okay, from there I'm going to hit sin and separation. Brothers and sisters, we're all familiar with that, right? Sin and separation. I'm not going to get deep into that one right here this morning because I want to quickly hit the salvation story, because that's right halfway through camp and I'm really excited. I wanted to go through that today. So we're going to quickly hit the salvation one. The point of the sin and separation is that light and darkness cannot coexist. And it's not that God can't be where we are. It's that if God in his power and glory were to show up, it would kill us all, that because we have chosen darkness. And that breaks his heart. He wants so bad to be in our presence and to be with us and to hug us and to hold us. He made us to be with him like a parent and a child. We long to hang out with our kids and to have them and cuddle them and hold them, and right? And so God wants to be with us. And so I want to tell them the story of George Wilson versus the United States of America. This is my favorite example of salvation. In 1830, so way back, before cars, before electricity, in 1830, I think before electricity, George Wilson and his partner, I have it written on my phone, someone Parker. Anyway, they robbed mail coaches, right, with the horses and the coach, and they were taking mail, like the letters in the mail. This is a federal crime. This is a federal crime. It's a big deal. It is a crime against the United States of America, the entire country. And they robbed them. And in doing so, they robbed multiples. And in doing so, they injured some of the mail carrier workers. They injured some. And the two of them were caught. They were taken into court. They were found guilty. And they were given the death sentence. And in July of 1830, his partner, Parker, was hanged for his crimes. He was executed, dead for his crimes. But George Wilson, and I'm not sure why, wasn't executed on July 30th. There was a delay, and he had more powerful friends. And so his friends actually petitioned the government. And I don't know if kids know this, but I'm going to teach the kids. The government, the president of the United States, represents the whole country, and he can forgive. And he wrote a presidential pardon for George Wilson, and he pardoned him. Free to go. Free to go. Debt is forgiven. And George Wilson rejected it. They didn't even know what to do with that. He's sentenced to death. He is on the track to be executed. He is given a free get out of jail free card. And he says, nope, nope, I'm not getting out of jail. I'm staying here. They didn't even know what to do. They started debating, can he do that? Is he allowed to do that? And it went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and they decided a pardon is only valid if it is received. It can be offered, but it is a document that cannot be forced on someone. And so, with a signed presidential pardon, George Wilson remained in jail. Some of the stories say he was executed. The research I did this week, actually he wasn't, but he stayed in jail for 8 more years. Until the next president issued him another presidential pardon. That one he accepted and he was let out of jail. But here's the thing. He stayed in jail for 8 more years with a signed get out of jail free card on the warden's desk. What? Why would he do that? We actually don't know why. The records I found, I couldn't find why he would choose to do that. So John 3:16 tells us, we can probably all recite this together, can't we, church? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. From there, I'm going to read them the story where Jesus says, the only work God wants from you is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That Jesus pays the price. In the previous one with sin, we hit the Romans chapter where the wages of sin is death. And if someone crashes into your parents' car and rings the doorbell and goes, oh, so sorry, man, I was texting and driving and I hit your car with my car. Oh, here's $10. Yeah, someone's like, yeah. But that's exactly what people, like, that's sin. What is the cost of sin? Because the payment must be equal to the damage created, right? You crash in someone's car off from $10, that's not right. You got to replace the car. You got to fix it. Well, what does it take to, quote, fix sin? Well, the payment is death. And that, again, that breaks God's heart. So Jesus arrived and Jesus died. Now, the payment's paid. There's nothing you do to get that or gain that. It is offered like a pardon. It is signed, finished, quote, get out of jail. But it's not forced on anyone. Everyone gets their own choice. And to prove that, and I love this. This is my favorite salvation in the entire Bible. We're going to read this part. Luke 23, 32 to 43. Where is that? I got to actually go find it. 23. And then we're gonna do communion and be done. Luke 23. Oh my gosh, 21, 22. Sorry, guys. Thank you for your patience. Luke 23, 32 to 43. Am I missing this? It's the thief on the cross, right? Luke 23, 32. Luke? Oh, I'm in 22. Luke 22. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, guys. I wrote it down right, but I flipped to the wrong passage. I'm like, that's not at all the... 32 to 43. There we go. Okay, so Jesus has been condemned to die. He has done nothing wrong, but he is paying our price, right? He's signing that pardon with his life because the debt owed is death, and so Jesus is dying. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. Finally, they came to the place called the Skull. All three were crucified there, so all three were nailed to a cross. Jesus in the center cross and two criminals on either side. Jesus said, Father, forgive these people because they don't know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders laughed and scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself, for if he is really God's chosen one, the Messiah. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And a signboard was nailed to the cross above him with these words, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, which means mocked, means taunted, right? Scoffed. So, you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you are dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds, but this man has done nothing, hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. So to receive salvation, to be saved, to have that pardon signed and to receive it, what does God require? Believe in the one he has sent. That's it. There's no requirement of baptism or Eucharist or doing enough good deeds. There is no do enough good to get to heaven. Now, God wants us to do good. He wants you to be nice to your sister. He wants you to not be a bully in school, right? Do what your teacher says. Do what you know to be right. Don't do what you know to be wrong. And in that, do your best, but none of that saves you. All of that will make your life better. When you don't do wrong, you have less pain. It's just that simple. That's how God made the universe. It's not rocket science. But none of that gets you to heaven, because when you crash into a car, $10 is not sufficient. And when we have sinned, the wages of sin is death, because sin is darkness, and light cannot be where darkness is. It's actually not. It's that darkness cannot be where light is. And so to be in the presence of God, all of us have sinned, and we cannot stand before him unless death has been paid, and it has. And so it is offered freely for all who choose, all who believe and accept that. It is paid in full, and now we get Jesus. And then the rest of the week, because that was right in the middle of the week, the rest of the week, I want to go into what it's like to walk with Jesus, and how he welcomes us back with the prodigal son, and that Peter is completely restored to Jesus after denying him three times, right? In their culture, three times was legally binding. If you told your wife you were divorced three times, that was legally binding, is what I understand. And Peter did that. He denied three times. And so Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And that is him wrapping his arms around Jesus and Peter and welcoming him back. He's welcomed back. And then I want to hit freedom, that we have the right, not just the privilege, but when we've accepted Jesus, Jesus gives us the right to be children of God. And I want to do freedom, that we're then free. But we're free because Jesus set us free, which means our freedom is rooted in him, not in our obedience. And so I want to take a dollar, a loony, and I want to ask kids, hey, how much is it worth? Eh? Thank you, somebody, a dollar, right? And then I'm going to get a kid to yell at it, call it names, tell it it's stupid. Well, now how much is it worth? Well, a dollar. And then I'm going to throw it on the ground and stomp on it and grind it into the dirt and pick it back up. Now how much is it worth? Still a dollar, and I'm going to bury it under dirt. Now how much is it worth? Still a dollar. Other people's opinion of you doesn't define your value. Jesus paid infinite for you because he loves you infinite. Your value is infinite, equal to the blood of Jesus spilled. That's your value. That's how much God says you're worth. Nothing can change that. Even if we feel like we're dirt, and we all have those days, we then remind ourselves, because Jesus' word, God's word, tells us we are worth equal to the blood of Jesus spilled, equal to God's life. I love this. Infinite. Okay. Oh. And then what it's like to build your life on the rock, and then a recap of the entire week, top to bottom. Well, that's my plan. Church, thank you for letting me soundboard off you and guinea pig a bit off you guys, making you all my guinea pigs and running through some chapel weeks that we're going to hit this week. I'm open to feedback. Please let me know if you're like, hey, dude, this didn't land. Don't do that. Or, hey, you should add this too. Let me know. Shoot me a text. Anyway, I'm going to pray to close here real quick, and then we're going to do some communion. And I'm going to ask, does anybody know where the Last Supper story is in the Bible, off the top of your head or off Google? Probably in, what's that? Just where I was? I bet it would be, wouldn't it? I feel like I could still do that off the top of my head. It would be before, yeah. Anyway. Okay, well, let's pray real quick. Father in heaven, thank you for today. God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you gave us brains and minds, and we can comprehend, and we can challenge and think. And Lord, I love that. It's not a blind faith. God, we don't know everything. No one can know everything. So all of us have to have some faith in whatever we choose to believe. All of us. And so, Lord, I want to thank you that you gave us minds. I want to thank you that you have provided, oh, just mountains of evidence. God, I want to thank you for the peace that that's brought my heart. Lord, I want to pray for this upcoming week. As we present Jesus to kids, we're going to have so much fun, and we're going to have a Slurpee every day, and we're going to play games and night games and have so much fun. God, I want to pray that your Holy Spirit would work through hearts. I want to pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would work in those hearts, that you would bring light to the eyes of kids, that you would bless them with eyes to see and ears to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he looked up to heaven and he broke it. He didn't wound it. He broke it. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This, the wine, is my blood shed for you. Take it and drink in remembrance of me." So I want to invite you, brothers and sisters, if you've got Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to the table of the Lord this morning. It's not magic. It won't forgive your sins or save your souls. It's not that. This is us remembering and acknowledging that we are broken, that we are lost, that Jesus paid. We're going to do this relatively quickly. I want to invite you to make a line and come on down and take the elements. If you would allow me the privilege of holding them for you, serving you. And I want to apologize that I promised to be done early and I wasn't.
Time is relative,
right?
Yeah. Oh, relative, thank you.
Dallas, you can stop the recording, dude. Thank you, Meyer.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.